Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Hold on, y'all. With all this talk about making babies that we love to do, let's talk for a second about feeding those little miracles when they come. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company that started with a simple mission: make the best formula in the world. When chest feeding isn't an option, ByHeart's clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula is there for you. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk. Plus, ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients and no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. And it's the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. ByHeart also happens to be clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula, which, trust me, you're gonna want. So tell me, you're curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code QUEERFAM for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. This episode is brought to you by California Cryobank, Storyworth, and Trust and Will. We are very excited to have them on board, making our show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Let me show you.
Love is love if you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad. Thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
Hi.
Jamie.
Hi, everyone.
Jamie. We're back. We're back after a Memorial Day. We went camping. How'd it go?
We didn't go.
Wait, why?
So you didn't go camping? We woke up that morning, Saturday morning, already, like, all the camping gear was set up. I was so excited. And we look at the forecast, and it's supposed to be in the 30s and raining the whole time.
Yeah,
it's cold. We made a game day decision, and our friends agreed, and we didn't go. We couldn't do it. It was going to be miserable, miserable. I'm so sad, though.
Yeah, Jamie. You know how I know it's going to be miserable? Because we actually went.
I know you did. But you had a cabin.
So. We had a cabin, but that didn't have anything to do with sitting outside all day in the rain.
No, that's
because our cabin
tough.
Was like an 8x8 room with like just, there was no space in it. So it was just like outside in the rain. And I did not pack properly because it's been so hot here.
I know.
Thank God I even brought some hats. Like, we were freezing.
Yeah. You didn't realize it was going to be so bad, huh? I could have told you.
Well, you know who told me? My wife. She stayed home.
Well, smart
for the third time, I just said camping and she burst into tears. And I said, you know what? I said, I am taking this decision away from you. You're not coming. You cannot. Like, she would have just sat in the car and honked on the horn the whole weekend.
Oh, no. Yeah,
Let's go.
I'm glad we didn't go. But last night, like, a memory popped up in my photos, and it was the last time
camping
we went to
last year.
Yeah. It was 2 years ago because we weren't able to go last year.
Oh, right, right, right. A pandemic. Right,
yeah, because of the pandemic. And oh my God, the pictures. I want to go back so bad at these pictures. And the kids were so cute. Yeah. And we had all our camping gear on. I just was so sad we missed out.
I mean, we can't had go fun. Again we had fun, but it was a lot. By the way, on a side note, my daughter managed to make a new friend who was like trans.
At the camping
site? She went by she or they. And said that she was trans, and she was like, yeah, my dead name is Savannah, but my name's Mars. She was like, but I don't tell my parents that because they're homophobic and they wouldn't be okay with it. And we were like, oh my God.
Oh my goodness gracious.
We're like she said so much about her family that I was like.
And Maxine's okay, well, you're safe here. I got two moms.
I know. It was like a whole pack of lesbians camping, by the way. It was a whole pack of lesbians.
You went
in the middle of the Poconos. Like, we were the only people like wearing masks. Like, they were just like, what's going on with those girls over there? Sitting outside in the rain.
Yeah, our camping trip is a bunch of gay moms too. How funny is that?
I know, but I thought how nice it must have been for that kid. She was like, she kept going, why'd you come to Pennsylvania? She goes, we're known for our potholes, and I was like, this kid's got some moxie.
I love that kid.
I know.
Did she say her name is Mars?
She said that her new name was Mars, but she wasn't going to tell her family that because they were homophobic.
Oh my God!
I know. And then she also went into this whole. My daughter did, of course. My daughter got her phone number, and she was like, Mars and I will be chatting. I was like, okay. Aww, Maxine, she's got her own little social life. Aww. Anywho, that's how Memorial Day went for me, Jamie. But we slid right into Pride. That's exciting.
Month. I mean, it's Pride Month. So that just means it's a month-long festivities. I do get excited when Pride Month comes around. I really do.
I usually do, but I'm so burnt out right now that I... of spending like 2 years with my family that I just need a vacation, and it's happening in June, and that's really all I can think about.
You just had a vacation.
Camping in 32 degree weather in the rain was a vacation. I missed that part, Jamie.
We really can't win. That's why I got to go back to California. Good weather when you go camping any time of the year.
Well, this is a downer. Let's talk about something exciting. Let's give a special shout out to we got three new Patreon members, which I'm super jazzed about.
That's awesome. Did you see that we got a DM from somebody we thanked last time? We said her name wrong. And I was like, of course, I was like, there's no way I could say this name wrong. It was.
And it was wrong.
It was Alyssa, but it's actually, I learned, pronounced Elisa. She said, she was like, it's sorry, okay. Elisa. It's just hilarious that you were so sure
you had it. Well, we can't mess this up.
No, Sophie, these are good.
Sophie Dixon Sutton.
Thank you, Sophie.
Yes. Anna Lynch.
Anna Lynch. We love you. And
first name only, just Jess.
Jess. That's like a song. Jess. I go by Just Jess.
I'm just Jess. I'm a Patreon member for if these. Stop it. Okay.
Stop. We got to go.
All right. And if you would like to help us make content for LGBTQ families, you can join our Patreon community. You're going to do a good thing and you're going to get bonus content. And at the gestational carrier level, you'll get video interviews of most episodes, and they're dropped a day early without commercials
and
without edits.
If we ever have a two-parter again, which I think might become a new thing, you get that second episode the same day the first episode drops.
Okay. You're going to head to patreon.com/ovariestalk to join.
That's fun. Okay,
let's get to our intro, Jamie. This is so exciting.
These guys.
Danny
and Pete. I can't believe they actually agreed to be interviewed by us, but they did. These two dads wrote a book called Our Subway Baby. And why do you think they named it Our Subway Baby?
Because it's about that time.
About that time that Danny found a baby on the subway.
Like you do. And then they adopted him. I mean, come on.
Oh my God.
What kind of story is that? That's lovely, like an LGBTQ family just fell out of the sky into their laps. Oh, boom, parents.
Oh my God. It's such a heartwarming story. And they're just lovely dads, these two.
Oh my God. And Helen is literally in like a running position over here right now.
She's
with her finger
her
on the button.
Adidas running suit on, ready to go too.
It's like a 70s one with the big wide collar. It's amazing.
Of course
Helen,
it is.
You look good in Kelly Green. Roll the tape, Helen.
Roll that tape, Helen. We love you, Helen.
Hi, Danny and Peter.
Hi.
Hi, Robin. Hi, Jamie. Hi, Robin. Hi, Jamie. Hi. How you doing?
Welcome to our ovaries.
I've never been.
Right.
Yeah. So
it's so nice to be with ovaries.
Thank you for inviting us.
we've only ever been with descended ovaries. So...
That's a good way to put them. Just send it over because I like that. I'm going to teach my son that.
Oh, my God. I'm sure he's got enough females around him. Like, let him have his testicles, for God's sake. Let him have man parts.
He's three and he has just started saying, I have a penis and you have a vagina. Oh, so that's
right. I remember that age.
Yes.
47 seconds in and Jamie just said penis and vagina. Welcome.
I did. Okay, back to you. It's not about us. Not. Stop talking about us, Robin. We are so excited to have you guys on, really, because your story is
remarkable.
Phenomenal.
Thank
oh
you.
My goodness gracious. And we can't wait to hear all about it. But before we get into the nitty gritty, I think we need to get your 30-second elevator pitch. Are you ready?
I hope so. Well, we have to be, so we are.
You yeah. sure do.
You're going to be fine, and it's going to be beautiful and amazing, and don't worry, we won't cut you off. We love everybody.
Okay, on your mark, get set, go.
Danny, you go.
Okay. oh, my gosh. Yes, yeah, so this was a night, August 28th, 2000, when I was rushing to meet Pete for dinner. I was late and I was coming out of the train station. And when I looked down right before exiting, I noticed a bundle on the ground. Thought it was a doll, started to exit, looked back one last time. The legs moved. I knew it wasn't a doll, but a human and baby. And I called 911. Seemed like they were taking forever. And then I called Pete and said, I found a baby.
I heard the panic in his voice. I rushed down there, saw the baby in a police officer's arms, chills ran up my spine. But then, you know, the baby was put into the foster care system and we went on with our lives. 3 months later, Danny gets a call from an attorney for the Administration for Children's Services here in New York. He goes down to testify in a hearing to place the baby up for adoption. And the judge asks him if he would be interested in adopting the baby.
And I said, yes.
And that, in a nutshell, there's a lot more to this story than that, is how we became parents.
OMG.
So many questions.
We went over time.
It's okay.
That's totally fine because you had to.
You found
really
a baby in the subway.
To.
We'll allow it.
Who finds a baby in the subway? I mean, I hope there aren't that many more babies that are found in the subway because that's a rough start. But holy moly.
I know.
What?
How long had you all been together at this point? Before we get right into the baby part.
About 3.5 years.
So that's a young relationship. That's not that long.
Yeah, and were you on a path to parenthood or?
Absolutely. Not at all. Not at all.
No.
You were living the fun life?
Well, I don't know if it was necessarily the fun life.
We were homebodies. We really didn't go out. We weren't clubbers. We didn't go out that often.
But we did have a small group of friends that we would hang out with and we would do things and we would have little parties that I used to call cheesy parties where we'd play cheesy music and eat cheesy food and have a cheesy time.
Yeah.
So tell us about how you guys met and how you started off.
So it was the summer of 1997 and I joined a softball league here in New York City.
This sounds like a lesbian story. I love
Well, there,
it.
There sure are a bunch does. Of lesbians that play softball, but we didn't have any on our team. It was a gay, and lesbian softball league and the Big Apple softball league. And that year there was enough new recruits to form a new team. So everyone on that team was, they were new that year. And so we called ourselves the rookies. And another person on that team happened to be a friend of Danny's that he knew from Texas that was also living in New York now. Oscar was his name. And he kept telling Danny to come to our games and hang out with us. Danny was out of a long-term relationship and I was out of a long-term relationship. And so neither of us were looking for a relationship. Yeah. And so while he was still, he was coming to all the games and kind of scouting me, I wasn't really paying any attention to him.
Well, I was just looking to expand my social circle, and I wasn't looking for anything romantic, or I wasn't looking for a relationship at all. But the more I hung around, the more I became interested. But I didn't know at the time, but Pete was also going on other dates with other guys.
Yeah, you were, Pete. Yeah,
well,
yeah,
so,
were.
Well, so rightfully so. So when I came out in my early 20s, I got into a relationship right away and I never dated and I never sowed my oats or did anything like that. I was in a relationship. And
so
when I broke up with that person, the last thing I wanted to do was get back into another relationship because here I am playing gay softball with all these other jocks and you know, why not?
You're sowing oats.
Yeah. So I got 3 months to do that before.
That's it. You're just like me, Pete. I did the same thing. I tried to sow my oats and I ended up meeting my wife and it didn't work. I didn't really get to sow my oats.
Me either. I did not.
Do you feel like you miss it?
Nah. It's
yes,
it's
she does.
No, I don't.
I'm just kidding.
I didn't really sow any oats, but I think that I'm all good for it. I'm all good for it. So
Danny saw me, like, you know, he knew sort of the guys that I was sort of dating and seeing and that I wasn't really with one person. And so he didn't really make a move until this one night we were at our sponsor bar. Night.
Yeah.
July 13th.
1997.
And
you guys really remember
I know.
Huh?
Oh, well, yeah.
Because that's the date we still use as our anniversary date.
Yeah.
Because it's also the date we got, married, So just for convenience. Yeah.
We are the same. My wife and I got married on the same date we met too.
We didn't want to. How we did funny. Not want two anniversary dates to remember.
Too confusing.
No, yeah, just.
Oh my God. It's amazing.
So because I was somewhat sowing my oats and I was 29 years old, this is news because I've not shared this anywhere except with you guys.
Well, like, breaking story. Breaking story.
Exclusive.
I got mono really bad that summer. No. And so.
I had that too.
But at 29 years old, I got the teenage.
Jamie, kiss. Let's just assume you got all the things they've had, Jamie, and let them tell their story.
We're basically the same person.
I got a teenage kissing disease as a 29 year old, and so Danny comes up to me. I'm looking over songs at the jukebox at our bar after a game, the sponsor bar, which happens to be called the Dugout. Aptly named, He says he just comes over and says, "Can I buy you a drink?" And I'm not drinking because I'm on steroids. I'm on antibiotics. I'm just like, I want to knock this out because it almost knocked me out. Mm-hmm. Mono at a older age is serious business. Yeah. So I said, "I'm sorry, I'm not drinking." And he just walked away. So 2 minutes. No, but wait. 2 minutes later, he comes back and he hands me a bottle of water.
Oh,
I know.
Look at you.
See, now Danny was all quiet during the story because he knew he came out good in the end. He was all, let's just wait for it. I'm going to come out really hot here.
Water. That's how I got him. Yeah.
But wait. That's a cheap date.
He kept buying me waters. We started talking about the jukebox and songs, and I was putting in Garth Brooks because I like country music. And it was the summer that Garth Brooks was playing in Central Park. And so he's from Texas, and we sort of struck up a conversation about how he didn't really listen to country music all that much, being from Texas, but that I did, and I'm a New Yorker. So, you know, we connected on that in a weird opposites way. Mm-hmm. But every water that I had, Danny had a vodka drink.
A vodka cranberry, to be exact. Yeah.
And so by the end of the evening, back then, Danny rollerbladed everywhere.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no.
So, yes, I did.
Yeah, I was not letting him get on rollerblades.
I don't know if I would have been able to put them on.
There's no way. You can hardly even put them over your shoulder. I mean, so I put my duffel bag over one shoulder, his rollerblades over the other shoulder. And I said, "Come on, we're going to go out and go for a walk. And you got to like sober up a little bit." And I lived really close by and he lived up in Hill's Kitchen. So, you know, it was really convenient for us to sort of walk by my apartment. Mm-hmm. And he came up and kind of never left.
You guys are lesbians.
It was meant to be. You are a lesbian.
Yeah. That's
softball, dugout. I mean, come on.
Everyone calls me a lesbian because my favorite musicians are
the Indigo Girls
and Brandi Carlile.
Yeah. Yes. I have Brandi Carlile's initials to her song engraved on the inside of my wedding ring.
Brandi, if you're listening, we still want you on the podcast. All right, Jamie, it is time to share our code for the California Cryobank. And I want people to start making babies.
I do, too. I really do, too. Guys, California Cryobank is offering our listeners a free level 2 subscription.
Come on now.
You just go to cryobank.com and use code OCT to start shopping sperm and buying it now.
This is one of the best discount. You got so aggressive there. This is one of our best discount codes yet.
I know.
And if you're on the fence about which sperm bank to use, here are some reasons that you're going to want to use California Cryobank.
Okay, so California Cryobank partners with LGBTQ+ organizations like Family Equality, The Center, Only Human, Pandora Events to sponsor family building events nationwide. Boom.
Also, California Cryobank was awarded Family Equality's 2019 Corporate Impact Award for their contribution to helping LGBTQ families.
Great, great. California Cryobank created a special discounted fertility preservation program for the transgender community It provides the opportunity to have biological children after transitioning.
Come on, that's amazing. And they have all the info that you need to make an educated choice, from a stringent donor screening process to personal essays to audio recordings, pictures, you name it, they've got it.
And you guys, they have an at-home insemination option for all of us LGBTQ folks who want to get pregnant at home. I wish I had done that, but I didn't. But anyway, they've made it easy to ship vials to your home. California Cryo seriously has our community covered. They do, and I love them for it.
So folks, go ahead and start your search for donors today with a free level 2 subscription. You're going to go to cryobank.com and use the code OCT for a free 90-day access to view extended donor profiles, childhood photos, adult photos, and express yourself items.
You guys, go do it. That's cryobank.com and use code OCT for free 90-day access. California Cryobank. Dreams start here.
Yeah, they do.
Right here.
Yeah. All right, so you're not talking, so you're together 3 years, but you're not talking about parenthood. You're happy with your cheesy parties, and you're like, we've got this like nice little lesbian life in Hell's Kitchen, and we're good.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah. And we also had a roommate. The three of us were living in a one-bedroom apartment.
Yep. Oh, geez. Ooh.
So even though I had my own apartment, we were spending most of the time together. So it was like, well, why don't we just split the rent three ways? I will sublet my apartment, as you do in New York. You don't want to give up an apartment. So I sublet my apartment, and it was a happy life.
But it was a small, it was 400 square feet. So Danny and I were squeezed into the bedroom, and our roommate was behind a partition in the living room.
Oh, geez. Oh, my God. That's so New York.
It was very sparse. Yeah, for so New York. Exactly.
Okay, so you're together. 3 years go by. You're in love. I mean, you're not married because you can't be married, but for all intents and purposes, you guys are, you're together forever, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're pretty solid.
And so
you're on the subway.
So what happened?
Yeah,
yeah.
Because, I mean, it's like I have so many questions about, like, I don't know. Like, when I first read about your story, I thought, I don't know that I would have, like, touched the baby, or like, I was like, oh, he called 911. Cause like, that's the part that's so like, what if somebody's around the corner? Like you think of like a bird and they're like, get away from my baby. You know what I mean? It's like, I know that's a weird analogy, but
I had some
Red Bull. So.
Well, all those thoughts were running through my head. It's like, well, is there somebody around that's knowing what's going on? Is the mother nearby watching? Is like, I even thought like, well, this is like candid camera. There's like all of a sudden all these, you know, cameras going around. I was like, you know, my face.
You took the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you do?
What would you do? He took the baby.
So, I mean, yeah, all this was running through my head. I was incredibly nervous. I mean, this was before we had cell phones. So I didn't even have a cell phone on me. And this particular station exit was not, it was the 14th Street ACE line. So,
yeah, that's a huge, huge exit.
So there's a 14th and 16th Street are the big exits. But I would always exit through 15th Street because it was closest to where we lived and it was just a block away, but it was an exit only. And this was also before the Metro cards, so it was only tokens. So they had those old turnstiles where you could go through, but you couldn't go back out. So once you exit, all exits are final. And so I'm going through the turnstile and I look down, I glance, and that's when I see the bundle that I thought was a doll on the ground. And I just like, oh, a little girl left her doll. And I keep going up, and that's when he moves. And then I go down. I immediately thought, oh, something might have happened. Was he dropped? And it's like, I didn't know if he had been injured in any way. So I didn't want to pick him up because I was afraid I was going to hurt him. So I just tried to alert the passerbyers that were going through. This was about 8 o'clock at night. So it was,
that's what I wanted to ask. Were there other people?
No, not really, because there weren't a lot of people going through that exit. And I did alert one person. I was trying to get somebody to call the token booth attendant at the time, and I couldn't get anyone's attention. This one woman came by, but she didn't speak any English, so she didn't understand me. And then when I was pointing to the baby on the ground, she just backed away and then quickly left. I think she probably thought I was, you know, not in my right mind. So she didn't want to, I'm not going to have anything to do with this.
Yeah.
You know, I knew that there was a payphone up on the street. So I ran up the stairs. I called.
You didn't have the baby with you?
I didn't, because I know I made sure he was breathing okay. I mean, he had been wrapped up in this dark sweatshirt. So his only two little legs were sticking out. And
he wasn't crying.
He was not crying. He was not making a sound until I brushed his head. And then he whimpered a little bit. It's like, okay, I'm not going to do that. But once I called 911, I ran back down to make sure he was, you know, just to stay with him, waiting for the police. It seemed like forever. And probably not, just probably like, you know, my time was standing still for me. And in my mind, I'm thinking it's taking forever. I'm sure it was just a matter of minutes, but I'm thinking also that they probably think it's a prank call.
Right. I mean, like, what did you say? I just found a baby in the subway.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, I found a baby. And I was like, I told the operator like where I was, exactly the location. And that was it. And then as I'm waiting, I'm thinking, oh.
Did you go back into the subway or just stay and look at it through the window?
I went back down the stairs to where he was.
Oh, so he wasn't inside. He was outside. Yes. So somebody had like gone down the stairs and left him there.
Yes, exactly.
For somebody to please see him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
So then as I was waiting there, I thought I need to call Pete. I had a quarter in my pocket. So I went up and went to the same payphone and I called Pete and I blurted out, I found the baby. I found a baby, not the baby. Found a baby and told him where I was. And I said, you need to call because I don't think they believe me. So you call, they'll believe you and they'll come.
Oh my God.
Yeah. At this point, I mean, I was hangry because
because it
was late for dinner.
Yeah.
Come on, man. I mean,
the back of my mind is like, oh, you know, Pete's hungry. And just like you said, he gets hangry when he gets hungry. But all that went out the window when I saw the baby. Yeah.
Well,
Pete'll get a snack bar. I got a baby.
You know, you'd be surprised how after that call, the hunger just went away because the adrenaline is just takes over. And so, you know, I ran down there as quickly as I could. After, you know, he called, and Dane doesn't really joke around that much. So I knew that he was serious right from the get-go. I could just hear the panic and the tension and the frantic nature in his voice. So by the time I got down there, the police had arrived and Dane was standing at the top of the steps, and a police officer at that very moment was carrying the baby up the stairs from the subway exit. And it was just, oh man, just so real and so surreal at the same time. Like, he just found a baby, you know.
It was
crazy. Like, that, you know, if you find $5 on the ground somewhere, you think that's amazing.
That's a big deal. $5.
That is a big deal. Yes.
See, but like in my head, I'm thinking they knew they were going to be his parents all along. Like, they're thinking, we got a baby. We have a baby. But I know that's not how it went down.
We don't have to go through surrogacy. We got a baby.
Yeah. I know, but in my romantic head, it's like, oh, we have, there's a baby here.
But
it showed up for us.
It's so crazy. It's so funny because like friends and colleagues were saying, well, why didn't you just take him home? It's like, what do you think? It's a lost puppy?
Yeah, you can't do that. You got to go through the system.
It's like, do you think people will notice that one day we don't have a baby and the next day we do? It's like, they're going to wonder what's up.
Yeah.
So they're going to take him into foster care at this point. And do you feel at this point like, wow, I just did a good deed. I did my mitzvah for my lifetime. And now we're going out to dinner.
Well, I think Danny was just shocked the whole night.
Yeah,
I was trying to get more. I didn't really know a lot of the details, even though I was trying to listen to his answers when he was getting questioned by police and detectives for a couple hours. And so when we finally were able to go to dinner, it was around 10 o'clock. And I was asking him and he was just sort of like out of it. And I was just sort of like letting him have his space because I think he was still processing what just happened.
Yeah, because you actually said to me, he's like, well, you know, you're always going to be connected with this baby. And I was like, what do you mean?
Right.
And it's like, well, you know, maybe not tomorrow or next week or even a year from now, maybe 5 years. Eventually this baby's going to know how he came into this world and who found him. And he'll maybe one day want to meet you. So he might look you up and maybe we can find out where you'll be placed and we can keep in contact by sending him a birthday card every year on this date. Aww. I was like, oh, that sounds like a great idea. Yeah, well, let's do that. And that was the extent of it.
I just had this moment where I just felt like this baby's going to be a part of his life forever in some way that night. And I didn't think past maybe we can find out what family he ends up living with. I didn't, you know, that was the extent of it, you know.
But there was this deep, there was a feeling that that started brewing.
Yes.
Even if you didn't know it was there.
A connection, if you will.
A connection, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know how old the baby was at this point? Was anybody able to tell?
Well, the next morning I went to the hospital to try to find out more information. I didn't get anywhere. They wouldn't allow me anywhere near.
Yeah, they're like, who are you?
Exactly.
The guy who found the baby on the subway. Okay, next.
And they said, well, you're not family. I'm sorry, we can't give you any information.
So I tried to find information from the hospital social worker, and she wouldn't let me know anything either, just other than he's doing okay, and that was it. Mm-hmm. So we thought, oh, well, that's the end of the story.
So you said they brought you in. Was it like questioning, or what was that?
So I get a call from the attorney for the Administration for Children's Services. So that's the Child Welfare Agency in New York that was looking for me and wanted me to come in to testify to the situation of finding the baby. They were having a hearing to terminate the biological parental rights as they were, you know, proceeding. And they thought that my story would help in their hearing, in their case. And I said, sure. So that was actually 6 weeks later. And when I go into court, they didn't have all the documents together. So they postponed it for another 6 more weeks. So now we're at the beginning of December. I go in, I tell my story of what had happened. The judge asked, would I mind staying for the remainder of the hearing? And I said, well, I've got to get back to work if it's not going to take too long. I just started a new job and I was on my lunch hour and I didn't want to take any more time up. And so she said, no, it's not. The police officers did their testimony. 2 minutes later, it's done. And she addresses me and she says, I want to let you know, Mr. Stewart, what's happening. When we have a case where baby's been abandoned, we want to place that child in pre-adoptive foster care as quickly as possible. You know, in my head, I'm thinking that makes a lot of sense. Like,
good point. Mm-hmm. Good idea.
Yeah, very good mm-hmm. point. And then she said, would you be interested in adopting this baby?
Now, is that not a weird question for the guy? Like, that just seems like a big jump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone, I mean, like, no one was expecting this. I certainly wasn't expecting it. It just came out of nowhere. So, of course, everyone's looking at me in the courtroom like, how are you going to respond to this?
Yeah, I just pictured everyone in the courtroom being like head turned.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah.
Okay, folks, if there has ever been a year to make the dads in your life feel loved and appreciated on Father's Day, it is this one. This year has been rough, Robin. Mm-hmm. And Anne and I really wanted to make this Father's Day special for my father-in-law because he's also turning 80 this month. So it's a big one. So we're giving him StoryWorth this year. Isn't that a great idea?
It is.
Yeah. So StoryWorth is this online service that helps your dad, your grandfather, your father-in-law, whoever, every father figure in your life share stories through thought-provoking questions about their memories and personal thoughts. It's like it's a cool new way to engage with them, especially if you can't be together in person, which I think a lot of people still can.
I love that for you. Now, are you filling this out or is he filling it out?
Anne is.
Oh, okay.
I'm not.
Okay.
So here's how it goes. Every week, StoryWorth emails us a different story prompt, questions you have never thought to ask, like you would never ask. But they're like, what is your favorite story about your father? What's something your dad told you that you never forgot? Stuff like that, right? So Anne's been answering these questions for weeks, and it's been great for me, too, because I've already learned so much about Jimmy. Seriously. Aww. You know that every single day he made their lunches specific to each kid's likes and wants, and he Aww. Wrote their names like in really like special cursive, That's neat cute. Lettering. I know, it was like his special thing he did for each of them, and they all remember it.
I wish my
cute.
Dad did that. So anyway, after 1 year, StoryWorth will compile all Anne's dad's stories, including photos, into a beautiful keepsake book, and then that's going to be shipped out for free.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to see him open it. I think he's going to love it.
Give to your dad the most meaningful gift this Father's Day with StoryWorth. Get started right away with no shipping required by going to StoryWorth.com/OCT. And you'll get $10 off your first purchase.
That's StoryWorth.com/OCT for $10 off.
And now you've had no conversations with good old Pete over here. You're no. just like, you have to answer in front of the courtroom nope. to a question you didn't mm-hmm. know was coming. So you're mm-hmm. this is like a gut answer.
Yeah, so what happened? Yeah. What'd you say?
Well,
what'd you say, Dan? What'd you say?
I said yes. And then I paused. I said, well, it's not that easy. I don't think it's that easy. And she said, well, she smiled real big. She said, well, it can be. If you're interested, it can be. You need to come back when we have the next hearing and you need to state your intentions. And I said, okay.
Then she started issuing court orders.
And then she started ordering all kinds of court orders of an expedited home study, a visit with the baby, and a background check. And this, and it's like, what?
Daddy's like, what did I just get myself into?
Exactly. The room was spinning and it's like, what's happening?
Oh my God. Wow. But it's just like the universe is just.
The universe was like, you're having this baby.
It's just boom, 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 boom. And unbeknownst to you, it's just happening.
It's just happening. Yes.
More than you know. More than we knew at the time.
Now, did you wait to call Pete until you got back to work? Or did you wait till you got home? Or
well, continuing with the subway theme here and not having a cell phone, I knew that there was a payphone on the subway platform.
Remember those days?
Payphone's actually on the platform.
So when I get into the station, I'm waiting for my train. I call Pete and I said, you'll never guess what the judge just asked me. She asked me if I would be interested in adopting this baby. At this time, the train was roaring into the station.
It was like
you could not. The timing.
He's like, because what?
But I'm also saying, no, you go back and tell her you misspoke. You know, tell her, no, you know, what did you say? I hope you said no.
You said no, right? You said no, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You said no.
Yeah. That's basically it. And then the line goes dead and I'm just talking to a receiver here. Yeah, we didn't really get a chance to talk about it until that evening when we both got home from work. So I hung up the phone and I instantly started pacing the hallways of, you know, the office that I worked in at the time. And I was sort of like, what is going on? What just happened? And I'm looking for a friend of mine who I want to share this with, my friend Sheila. And she, a lesbian. And
atta girl, Sheila.
She said, there you go. I hear her voice coming out of someone's office and I sort of push the door open and she sees me right away. And first thing she says to me is, what is wrong? You look like you've seen a ghost. And I said, Danny just called me and said that the judge asked him to adopt the baby. And she was like, what? I said, I just said, I don't know if I can do this. And she just came, she stood up, put her arm around me and said, basically said, you're doing this. You have to do this. Oh, and then everybody else in the room was like, I'll babysit. Aww. Everyone was like already volunteering. I was like, this news is not even 10 minutes old. And
I didn't say yes yet. I did not say yes.
Exactly. And
he did not.
It took me a good long week.
It took him at least a week.
Yeah.
But I feel like you had the quintessential straight man experience where a girl called you up and said, I'm pregnant.
Bingo.
And you were like, oh, I'm going to be a dad, because that's what Danny did to you, pretty much.
Yes. Well, you know, we're going to go back in time. So exactly what he did to me. And we're going to go back in time. I'm going to tell a little bit another story from 6 months after we met. Uh-oh. So Danny was so sure that he wanted to spend the rest of his life with me. So he, 6 months into our relationship.
Now I'm not so sure about it. 23 years. Yeah, after 23 years.
Yeah. Got down on one knee and asked me to marry him in 1998. So this is just like, you know, it's not even like a real thing. He just wanted a commitment for the rest of his life. Mm. And I just said, what are you, crazy? We only know each other for 6 months. Get up.
We have a roommate.
And don't ever ask that question again.
Oh,
and I didn't. I honored that.
He never did.
I never asked.
We're married. We're married. Yeah. So anyway, so when he finds the baby, like I used to joke with him after I came around and he, you know, convinced me that this was the right thing to do. And he was absolutely right. He talked me through all of my fear and all of my worries about not being able to be good enough parents and to not have enough money and to not have enough space to raise a child. And, you know, while those were all valid fears, they were just fears.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
you're never ready.
Mm-mm. So you're never ready. You're never going to be ready. And that's what I tell people now. It's like, if you want to become a parent, don't wait until you have your bank account to a certain level, because it's never going to be at the level you want it to be. Don't wait until you have enough space, because you're never going to have enough space in your mind. You're never going to be ready. So anyway, so after I came around, I would joke with him. I was like, oh, so I said no to marrying you 3 years ago, and then you got yourself pregnant.
You trapped me with a baby.
It was an unplanned pregnancy.
Did it move quickly to adoption?
Yeah, so what happens?
Okay. Way fast. Yeah. You want to go?
So, I mean, we had the court next hearing, which was about 2 weeks later. But before that, she had set up a date for us to go visit the baby. She wanted it for me, since I was in the courtroom, to set me up to go see the baby. And so during our deliberation time, heated arguments.
Deliberations.
so technical.
The jury of two deliberated.
Gently convincing Pete slowly proceed with the next steps, because I said it's going to take 6 or 9 months. This is not a quick thing. We have to have a background check. We have to go to parenting classes. That's 10 weeks just right there.
Then
all these things, it takes time. Everyone is telling me this.
And this was backed up by the caseworker who actually started the home study and said this is going to take 6 to 9 months.
And now, were you guys out as a couple?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was totally fine back then?
Yes.
You didn't have any pushback, nothing? That's great.
No. None.
None at all.
In fact, the foster care agency that he was placed with, they were actually, at the time, recruiting, going into the gay and lesbian community and trying to recruit gay and lesbians to
be foster
families.
To foster. They were really smart. Yeah. They marched in the gay pride parade.
Yeah.
So we were just very fortunate that our son was placed, that baby was placed with them.
Yeah.
So I convinced Pete to go with me just to take this step, this one step of going to see the baby. Yeah. Just a
baby step.
Yeah.
Just a baby step.
I see what you did there.
Thank
you.
So we go in to the foster home that he's been placed. The baby's there, and the caseworker has asked, would you like to hold him?
These people played you like a fiddle. Like, they were just like, hold the baby. Just hold the baby.
So I said, sure. And, you know, I pick him up, and I'm holding him, and, you know, lean in. It's like, do you remember me?
It was adorable. It was absolutely adorable.
We had a Polaroid camera. And so Pete snaps a photo, and then I just hand the baby over to Pete. It's like, your turn.
Yeah.
And I snap a photo of him with Pete holding him in his arms.
Yeah. It was as soon as he was on my arms. I mean, we had deliberated enough.
Yeah.
That I knew that
this is happening.
That my heart was a little bit more open even going up there. But as soon as he was in my arms, I even turned to Danny and I said, this is our son.
Oh my God.
You know, in that moment, I was like, this is our son, and we're going to be a family. We had no idea when. We just thought, you know, in a few months that we'll be all together forever. So a couple days after that visit, we both went to court to state our intentions that we both wanted to foster, to adopt this baby. And the judge was all smiles, and she was so happy to hear that. And she looks down at her calendar. Now this is now Wednesday, December 20th. Mm-hmm. Looks down at her calendar, and she looks back up at us, and she smiles, and she says, how would you like him for a holiday visit? And in that moment, I think both of us were just sort of like, what? Another thing, like, what is going to surprise us next, you know? And so I think we just both nodded and said, okay. And then she started.
It's just a train. It's literally a train rolling to you. That's what this was.
So she started giving the directives to all the baby's representatives, like, have the baby ready for them to pick up from the foster care agency on Friday morning. So we would record on Wednesday. We were to pick him up that Friday morning, December 22nd. And, you know, 6 to 9 months got compacted
down to 48 hours.
Holy moly.
So there goes that question that we had.
I have to ask, though, did you know any gay parents at this point? Did you have friends who were gay parenting?
No. Not friends, but we knew of others.
Yes, right.
But nothing, no one in our close circle of friends or acquaintances.
You were like, there was Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah. There was.
Well, yeah.
That's it.
But, yeah. Melissa Etheridge had a kid, right. And with David Crosby, and, you know.
Yeah. Like, that's my point, is this was not as prevalent as it is today. And this is only 20 years ago. So, you know, how far we've come, but also how beautiful it is that the whole system was working in your favor and totally, totally happy with you taking him. It makes me want to cry. Yes. It's just magnificent. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
We didn't have time to process it at the time, because it was all happening so quickly.
Yep.
It wasn't until months later that we came out of the stupor. It was like, did this really happen?
Mm-hmm. And when is the next, when is the shoe going to drop?
Yeah.
When is somebody going to object? Right. When is somebody not going to process? They're going to see paperwork and they're going to sabotage it and not process paperwork on time. And we're going to lose an opportunity, or someone's going to hear about it and come forward and claim to be a biological relative,
right.
Put a wrinkle into the whole the whole
because
thing.
Because so far, nobody's even come forward, right? Nobody.
No, never.
Has he ever wanted to do 23andMe or anything like that?
We did.
We did do 23andMe.
A few years ago, which was really great.
So for first 13, 14 years of his life, we have no idea what his ancestry or ethnic background was.
We just guessed.
Yeah. We guessed.
I guess pretty well.
He was right on the money. I thought he was like Mexican, African-American, Asian mix. It turns out that he is Pacific Island.
Yes.
Almost all the way through and through. Filipino Samoan is what it comes out to. In the
but no relatives showed up or anything in the testing.
No.
Huh. No, we kept his results private.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And he is in control now of whether he wants to make them public.
Yeah.
He knows that if he makes them public, he could probably track down somebody if somebody else biologically related to him has also done 23andMe. Right.
And we've also talked with him very recently about this, you know, that if he has any interest in exploring any biological relatives, if he wants to know more, we're supporting him on that journey. Yes. And, you know, it's not going to diminish what we have as a family or the love that we have. You know, we would support him in finding others in his life. So he's not interested in this time. I mean, it's focused on school, which is what it should be.
Yeah.
Jamie, you know that LGBTQ families are intentional. I mean, we say it all the time. Yeah, I do. We start planning way before our babies come into the picture. And you know how I feel about making sure you have everything buttoned up legally to make sure the family you work so hard to create is safe. And this is why I love trustandwill.com.
Yes, yes, me too. I mean, we spend a lot of money to make our families, right? Mm-hmm. It's nice to know that there is legal help out there that is actually affordable. Mm-hmm. Setting up an estate plan with trustandwill.com is simple, convenient, and secure. It's great.
For as little as $39, you can nominate guardians for your children, determine who gets your stuff, and plan for future medical care all from the comfort of your home. You know I love that too.
And I know this firsthand that hiring a traditional estate attorney can cost thousands. And using a one-size-fits-all template is not nearly specialized enough, especially for our families.
Yeah. Trust and will documents are designed by estate planning experts, and they are customized for the state that you live in. And with live customer support 7 days a week, trustandwill.com's team is available to answer any and all of your questions that you have while you're setting up your plan.
It's great. So you just go to their website, you take this short quiz to see what product is right for you, and you customize the documents for your needs. I'm so happy they're there for the little things I keep realizing I forgot to do, like add Orion to the will, or change the kids' guardians because we decided we need different ones. Things are always changing, so it's good that it's easy.
Yeah, because Trust and Will is the most trusted name in online estate planning, the category leader on Trustpilot, and they've helped hundreds of thousands of people protect their families, assets, and legacy.
Gain peace of mind, my friends, at trustandwill.com/OCT, and you're going to get 10% off, plus free shipping of your customized legal documents.
Oh my God, what are you waiting for?
Why are you waiting now?
This is a really important get 10% off plus free shipping at trustandwill.com/OCT.
Trustandwill.com/OCT. I don't know what that was. /OCT. I don't know what that accent was. I want to know, like, you get him for Christmas, for the holiday.
Yes.
And then was he home with you for the rest of the time? Forever? That was it?
He was. So he came home. And it became very clear the day that we picked him up that he was completely neglected in his previous foster home.
They never changed his diaper.
He had a third degree diaper rash from his belly button in the front, all around his legs and groin,
to the small of his back.
Yeah. It was peeling off.
No.
It was bad.
It just looked so
And
painful.
He was also, for the first day that he was with us, just scrunched up into fetal position.
Oh.
His legs bunched up. So he was guarded and protecting and stiff. And so we realized that we had to slather him in affection and the cream, the Medicaid cream that the doctor gave us to treat him.
Both those things.
So we just slathered him all over creams and love.
I'm sure he loves to hear that now too as an adult.
He's like, stop it, Dad.
Well, yeah, we do have that one blackmail picture of him.
Yeah.
Like every parent has,
we
all
have,
so
yes.
That, yeah. Anyway, so we were treating all of that, his guardedness. We were like doing exercises with him and playing with him, and finally got him to loosen up and laugh. And he was just, he unclenched his arms and his legs, and new skin was forming on on his groin area, and he was healing and he was becoming alive and he was bonding with us.
Yeah, he felt
safe.
There's
no other way to put it. He was safe and he was bonding with us. And I knew that he was supposed to go back the day after Christmas.
Oh.
And Danny had just started a new job, so he went into work the day after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not bring Kevin back the day after Christmas.
Uh-oh.
Because I didn't get the details of when and where and were they coming to pick him up or was I supposed to bring him back? So I just said, well, until they reach out to me, he's staying with us. And at that point, I was like, I have to do everything in my power so he does not go back into that home.
Back there?
Yeah.
He will never trust another adult. We will have to undo so much damage.
And do you know how old he is at this point?
Yes.
He's about 4 months old at this point.
So, because we later found out that he had been born that day from the doctor's report when he went to the hospital, they just assumed that he was just hours old.
Wow.
So he was 4 months at this time.
Yeah. So the caseworker calls me, not the day after Christmas, but the 27th. And she says, you were supposed to bring the baby back yesterday. And at this point, I just said, I thought the judge said we could have him for a holiday visit. And I thought that meant till after New Year's. I was trying to buy some time. And she said, no, I think the judge just meant Christmas. And so that's when I just said, look, you saw the condition he was in when he was checked out by the nurse at the foster care agency before he came home with us. You saw how guarded he was, how tense he was. You saw his diaper rash. I said, we're treating all of that. He's loosening up. He is actually a completely different baby than when we picked him up. His wounds are healing. I said, I know that you have to have the best interest of this baby in mind. I'm begging you, you know that him going back to that foster home is not in his best interest. And she said, there's nothing I can do. My hands are tied. He has to go back. But let me see. And she hangs up.
God, I can't even imagine the pit in your stomach.
Oh my God. Ugh. I think about it now. So she calls the next day and she says, I got some good news for you. The background check and your fingerprints that we submitted to Albany when we started the home study like a week ago are cleared. And technically, because your background check and your prints are cleared, we can do the rest of the home study while he's with you.
Oh.
What a relief.
Oh my God.
That was it. Yeah.
And he was home. He was with us forever.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, what
but a. We were so close to those early months are so
formative.
Crucial.
As it is, I wish we had those first 3 months.
We wish he was with us.
Because I know, now knowing what he experienced or the lack of love and nurture that he experienced, that I think it did shape some of his personality.
Yep.
Yeah.
And not in a totally negative way.
But he's a self-soother.
He's a self-soother. Mm.
So because I think he learned that if he cried, no one was going to come for him.
Yeah, yeah.
In those first 3 months. So he learned at a very young age as a baby, the neurons connected in his brain or whatever, that you're screaming and you want the attention, the affection or whatever, change my diaper. I'm in pain, pay me some attention, that nobody was going to do anything. So he grew up as this kid and still this young adult now who very much is a self-soother. He will find a way to comfort himself before he reaches out to other people for that comfort.
Yeah.
So, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have no idea if that's because of his first 3 months, but we surmise that
it may have contributed.
Contributed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm so happy for you guys.
I want to ask you about the book that you wrote about it. Did you wait until he was a grown up to write the book for his privacy, or just what made you decide to write the story?
So I think we've always wanted to tell the story. And yeah, part of it is that, like you just said, that we wanted for him to be older. We didn't want him to have to deal with attention it might get at a young age, in elementary school or middle school or high school. We sort of wanted him to be a young adult and sort of appreciated on that level.
Yeah, he already has attention because he has two dads, right? Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he's got enough attention on him as it is. That doesn't have to be added into
right.
it.
Growing up, he didn't understand why people were always asking us to tell the story of how we became a family. He didn't understand why it was remarkable to other people.
Because it was just this is just his life.
He would just say,
why is it special?
It's just my life. I don't understand why people are interested in our family. Why are people asking how you became a family and over and over and over again?
That is the beauty of our families and our kids and how we come to be. The kids show us time and time again, they don't care.
Yeah,
as long as we are honest with them and we tell them how it all happened, they're
right.
Oh, okay, that's me, you know, and life goes on. It's all the adults who have issues and hangups over these things.
Yeah. So. But we're also very lucky to live in New York City.
Yes. We're in the bubble.
We are in a bubble.
Yeah, we're in the bubble and fewer adults have issues than you would find elsewhere.
Very true.
So, but all the kids got it. Like from elementary school,
it was never
today,
an issue with
all of his friends, classmates. They all got it. It was like a non-issue. It wasn't
We thought that it might be an issue with some parents or something, but never, ever.
Yeah.
It was just amazing because there's so many gay and lesbian couples and individuals that want to have children are faced with so many obstacles and so many challenges.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we feel kind of bad sometimes talking about the way we became parents because it was like just a gift.
It was a gift.
Fully gift-wrapped gift.
I don't say this
us.
Often, but I feel like it was divine intervention.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was definitely the universe, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, my mind can go to just pure luck, universe, divine intervention, fate, destiny. Depending on my mood and my hunger level,
how many Snickers you've had?
I can think of any of those.
But we definitely think of Kevin as this was a gift.
Yeah.
He was a gift that came coming into our lives and changing our lives. And he's still a gift. Mm-hmm. He's a gift now that with this story 21 years later is still giving to others that are finding, particularly now with everything going on this past year, the darkness, so much loss, that people, the story of how we became a family is resonating so much with folks because of this of hope and possibility of something better. So that's a gift.
Yeah.
And he is still giving.
Yeah. And what's so weird is about the timing of the book, like you mentioned, why is the book coming out now? I actually started writing the book in 2014.
Mm.
So, you know, I got the publishing deal to get the book, and then it goes back and forth with rewrites and all this other stuff. And then they have to find an illustrator. So it just takes time. And, you know, during that process, I'm thinking, let's go, let's look, can we get this book out? And yet, you know what? The universe knew what it was doing.
Yeah.
The universe said in its own weird way, no, during the time of the pandemic is when your book should come out.
Yeah.
It's turned into the biggest blessing in the world because people were just craving
positive story,
us sharing that story, absolutely, and having the story out there. It's it's been amazing the amount of people that we've heard from
around the world,
all over the world,
particularly in countries that experience a lot of oppression. LGBT folks don't have the same rights that we have here and have reached out to say, this means so much.
Oh.
Yeah.
Your story means so much to me.
What's the name of the book? We want everyone to get your book, for God's sake.
Sure. The name of the book is Our Subway Baby.
Our Subway
Baby.
So you can Google
that. You'll find links to purchase it if you wanted to read it. And a lot of local libraries have it as well.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to check it out of your local library.
Your story needed to be told. Thank you so much for telling it on our podcast, where we try to highlight LGBTQ stories of hope. Like
Thank you so much for having us on.
It's amazing. And we wish you all the best with this book. And I feel like there needs to be a movie.
There's going to be a movie.
The movie is coming.
Well, you know, we're going to let things unfold the way they unfold. Mm. Something happens, it happens. If it doesn't.
Exactly. Just like everything else.
One of the things,
if it's meant to be, it will happen.
We just keep saying through all of this, from the day we got Kevin to now, just take it one day at a time.
Mm.
You know, and the second you get attached to an outcome is when your disappointment can rock your world. So there's no point in getting attached to an outcome. You know, just
wise
maybe
words.
After we stop recording, you could let Jamie and I know how to do that. So great. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for having us.
Thank you. This was fun. Great.
I mean, one word, Jamie, just fate.
Oh my God.
Right?
The family you need comes to you, right?
It really does. But I have to tell you, the entire time we were interviewing them, I was so anxious because I kept being like, you better hurry up. Like, you better tell them you want that baby. but they didn't, like, they weren't, like, they didn't know they wanted to be parents, but I was so anxious because I didn't want them to not get the baby.
Right.
Isn't that
but
ridiculous?
They got the baby. They got the baby. And it's like the best Hollywood ending you could imagine. It's so great.
I know.
So
happy. And that's the funny part is I knew they got the baby, but I was still anxious the whole time.
Well, like, you know, so funny, like a week ago, I saw this video. It's like a random Now This video, you know, that they show sometimes on the social. And this woman walked into a little restaurant, like a to-go place. And there were two people eating there. And she went up to this woman that was eating there, gave her this newborn baby and left.
What?
And they were like, oh my God. And this woman just gave me the baby. She said she needed a break. She needed a break. And she just handed this newborn to me. And I was thinking of Danny and Pete the whole time. Like, oh my God.
What?
Oh my God. And so she was holding the baby. It was clearly had just been born. It was like a teenager who had given birth. And they called the paramedics and everybody came. And it was like this whole thing. And this woman just held the baby and was like, I was at the right place at the right time. But the whole time I'm thinking, please take the baby. Please tell them you'll adopt the baby. Be like Danny and Pete. Like, I was like,
I know,
give that
right?
baby a home. So I don't know what happened to the baby, but.
I hate that story because now I don't know the ending.
I don't either. And I really want to know, but I have to believe that it's like Danny and Pete's story.
We know the ending to Danny and Pete's story. Yes. And like they raised a grown man who's fantastic. And now they have this book out, Our Subway Baby, that's for other people to read. And I love it.
Yeah.
So amazing. But speaking of books, Jamie.
We have a book too.
We sure do. And it's called If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family.
You said that very well.
It is available at all major retailers. And if you want to buy locally, which we always want to tell people you can do, you go to IndieBound.
Yeah, you can also get the audiobook and we'll read to you with our dulcet tones at night. That is available on Amazon and iTunes. And then don't be afraid to review it on Amazon or Goodreads. And you know what? It is Pride Month. So great gift to give all of your friends for Pride.
Yeah.
All of them, everyone, even your grandparents, even your curmudgeon-y old uncle.
Who especially your curmudgeon-y old uncle.
Who likes to say disparaging words about the LGBTQ community.
I challenge you to give our book to your curmudgeonly uncle, and I think there's no way he cannot fall in love with our families after reading it.
There we
challenge
go.
Challenge accepted.
Accepted for all the people out there listening. Okay.
I accepted the challenge for you. Okay.
You sure did. Okay.
Let's keep this conversation going on social media. You're going to join us at Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube, and there you're going to see recordings of our live streams. And don't forget about our live streams. They are every Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook and YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to support our podcast, like the folks, the three new Patreons that we have today, you just join us at patreon.com/ovariestalk.
And that's where you're going to get the bonus content. And it's fun. So
correctamundo.
All right. So we have to say a special thank you to our sponsors, California Cryobank, Storyworth, and Trust and Will. And a huge, huge, huge thank you to all of our Patreons who are helping us make this show. We really do thank you. We thank you all.
From the bottom
thanks
of
for
our
listening.
Hearts.
Even thanks for listening all the way to the end. If you're here and you're still listening, thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you for staying right to the end. Tell us that you stay to the end. We want to hear all the folks that stay to the end.
The only reason I'm still listening is because I'm running and I can't press stop right now.
Yeah, because I fell asleep and it's still playing. I can't even hear it.
Or I'm driving and I can't, subliminally, I can't get the phone to stop
subliminally.
It.
All right. Eggs, we got to stop. We got to stop the play.
We're going to stop before them.
Out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.